Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, oftentimes we talk about endangered species, right? We talk about extinct species. We talk about the dinosaurs, things that used to exist and don't anymore. And I think today when we dive into this topic with my good friend Alan Hahn from Iron Academy here in Raleigh, North Carolina, you're going to see where we're going today. And so Alan sent me a document, George Washington's Rules of Civility and Decent Behavior in Company and Conversation, and the issue of civility is one that, I have one little post-it note that I've kept on my computer screen here in the studio for as long as I've been in this particular studio, which is about a year now. And Alan Hahn, welcome back to Call to Action Radio, of course. Can you see what this little, Civility.
Yes.
That's the word civility. I have on a little post-it note that's stuck right on my computer screen, especially on days when we have callers and stuff. But generally when I'm engaging politics, the news of the day, pop culture, whatever it is. Civility is something that's lacking. Decent behavior certainly is lacking in the United States of America. And whether you want to go by young people, young boys and girls, young men, young ladies, or middle-aged people or old people, I think the older you get, you used to be able to count on this, that you'd see more civility, you'd see more decent behavior. But largely, that's gone. I think that our polarized society has killed it. I think our political discourse and environment has killed it. And I think the devil himself inside the body of Christ largely has killed civility and decent behavior as we've divided over and over and over again. So we're going to kind of unpack this because this is now on the summer reading for all of the young men at Iron Academy, and this is going to be a big part of the training at Iron Academy, which I hope goes more smoothly. Alan's got like books and stuff all over the place. His phone's going off, and it's just crazy in here. But that's the life of a chief education officer, Alan. Why are we going down this road today? This is an awesome idea. I'm super excited about this.
So, well, good question. So civility, it didn't start with something we noticed a need for at Iron Academy, though we do. But we noticed what was going on outside of Iron Academy,
yeah,
in the political sphere, in our insular social media worlds. We're losing that civility. I'm noticing
intersections, the mall, the grocery store.
Yes.
You name it.
It used to be that somebody would look, can I pull out in front of this person without affecting them? Now it's, if I pull out, will they hit me? If not, they pull out. And it's a simple
right.
example of civility, but I see it changing quickly.
Well, I just posted a story the other day that I saw that gave me great joy, which showing it was a story about the people, you know, so we're going to merge, right? So there's construction, and then they're showing you, like in a mile, they're going to merge. All the right lane's going to merge in the left lane. And so everybody gets mad about people like me because I go all the way end. Yep.
Yes.
Stay with me. I go all the way to the end. I put my blinker on, and then I wait for some civil person to let me in while all the other people are thinking I'm being uncivil, right? I'm being a jerk. But science has proven that's the zipper method. If all the cars on the right lane go all the way up to the end of the intersection where it then merges in, and if you go one right after another like a zipper, 40% increase in productivity and moving the traffic along. So I'm actually doing it the right way, and everybody else is doing it the wrong way. But my point is, we don't even have civility when it comes to driving. I mean, we don't even treat each other well on the road. We don't even know each
other. I thought your point was about justifying our behavior.
No.
Okay.
Nice try, though. But I guess I could have gone there. But anyway, how did this get on your radar screen? And then, of course, remind everybody about Iron Academy right quick, because I don't want to assume everybody listening to us knows about this incredible discipleship program that God has ordained and instituted here in Raleigh. And hopefully one day, God willing, it'll be all over the country.
Amen. So Iron Academy is an all-male school. We would, of course, many people say a Christian school. We would say a biblical school. We focus on three things. In fact, we promise our parents three things. We are going to be their ally and their church's ally in developing biblical manhood in their young men. We don't even have the term boys at Iron Academy. They're all young men. We are 6th through 10th this year. We'll add 11th the following and 12th the following, so we'll be 6th through 12. We promise that we are going to offer a superb education, and we've talked about that before on the show, but we have all kinds of data to support that. But we also are a leadership academy, daily giving our young men opportunities to lead in real-world situations.
Yeah, and so Iron Academy, which had its first year when?
2013.
And then this fall, starting Academy 31. So the same thing, but for women. We'll talk about that another time. But we're going to stick to Iron Academy today. And so how did this particular document, which is rather old, George Washington, our first president, you know, one of the founding fathers, one of the greatest heroes of American history, how did George infect what you're going to do here at Iron Academy?
All right. So we need to give, I think it's the Dutch or the French, a little bit of credit because he was actually copying something to learn these things. He was very conscientious about his behavior, yeah, about his appearance, and he wanted to be the utmost of gentlemen. And people who write accounts of him will tell you exactly that. But this was when he was younger. He was rewriting these rules, and I believe there were, what,
110.
Yeah, 110 of them. And
that's just on civility.
Right.
And then there's 55 other rules for copy work and memorization, which is also following up to that. So a total of 165. It's amazing.
Yeah, so our young men are going to be taking a look at each one of these this summer with their parents. What they have to do is they have to rewrite each one as if they were explaining to a peer.
Wow.
And we don't do this so that they do everything that George Washington said. That's not the rule book. That's not what we're going for. But this man was intensely interested in treating other people well, putting others' needs before his, and presenting himself in a way that was respectable.
It's interesting when you start looking at these, and I assume we'll unpack some of these. This is quite a list, and some of them are going to seem kind of dated, although not. I mean, listen, this one's going to put half the MTV crowd out of order right here. When in company, put not your hands to any part of the body not usually discovered. So, like, don't grab yourself in public. But it's really when you start going through these, and some of them, you know, we can laugh at about one like that. But, man, over and over and over again, especially when you look at them in terms of how we engage other people, how we respect other people, how we treat other people, and it doesn't say whether you like them or not. It doesn't say whether you agree with them or not. It's just other people, period. And so how are you – and why did you feel the need to kind of introduce this old document, this old way to Iron Academy?
Iron Academy in many ways is entirely countercultural. If we're going to – go against the current regarding how we treat what it means to be a man, we also have to do that with what it means to be a gentleman.
Yeah, what it means to be a gentleman and what it means to be a godly man, of course, because as Iron Academy also always says, you'll hear this on their advertisements, see it on the website, biblical manhood is never an accident. It takes work, it takes discipleship, so does civility, so do manners. We're going to get into them when we come back right after this. Because you are more than I could ever dream. This world could ever see. Forever I'm discovering. Jesus, you are. Back to Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you today with my good friend Alan Hahn, the Chief Education Officer, some would say CEO, of Iron Academy here in Raleigh, North Carolina, an incredible discipleship program school for young men, 6th through 10th grades, and then adding 11th grade, God willing, next year. And something else on the horizon, which we'll talk about at the end of the show, Proverbs 31, continuing to work on that and pray through that, which is really the female version of what God has been doing with Iron Academy, but summer reading and a summer project for all their students. And we're going to get that project. Alan's emailed that to me, so I'm going to put that up on the Facebook page. So maybe that's a good thing for all of us to go through. And I know what you're thinking, for your kids, but I'm thinking there's a good chance that we all probably need to go through it ourselves as individuals. And so we're looking at this document that George Washington used, George Washington's rules of civility and decent behavior in company and conversation, starting off with a list of 110 different thoughts. But before we get into George Washington, Alan, you were mentioning something off the air about John Locke, of course, one of the most influential thinkers and writers on our founding fathers. But tell us what you found there with respect to this whole notion of civility.
Yeah, so John Locke, obviously being a North Carolinian, he wrote our first charter for the state of North Carolina, actually for the colony.
That's pretty awesome.
Yes. But looking into what civility meant, and as I said earlier, it's easy to think you know something about something, but when you have to go and discuss it, you want to know a little bit more. So I went to my sources at home, and I found John Locke, and he wrote a book called On Education. And what he meant by that was not purely their academic education or preparation, but building men, building virtuous students and citizens. And going through there, it became very clear early on that teaching civility is often synonymous with teaching wisdom. Wow. There's so much of a parallel between bringing up a young man or a woman in a proper education, how to conduct themselves, how to put their interests behind those of others, that we see in the Proverbs as well.
Yeah, and I think that sets the stage for good learning, a good learning environment anyway, is to have a civil discourse and a civil environment. So have you found, I want to go through some of this list so people can start tracking where this came from, and George Washington pulled this from some other people, but we're going all the way back into the late 1700s here to look at these things. So I know you've got some that you circled that are kind of jumping out at you, Alan, so let's start there. And by the way, we're talking to Alan Hahn from Iron Academy here in Raleigh, North Carolina, an incredible school for young men, 6th through 10th grade, and incredible discipleship. I've never really seen anything like it, which I've been thrilled to partner with Alan and Iron Academy since they started. IronAcademy.org is the website, as always, IronAcademy.org. Let's start with some of these actual items from George Washington's list.
Okay, so the first one that George Washington wrote down is a terrific one, and one that we can all and should apply in our lives. Every action done in company ought to be done with some sign of respect to those that are present. Wow.
Yeah, you almost
what
go.
What could be simpler?
You almost go, duh, but then it doesn't. There's no qualification there. To those that are present and agree with you, to those that are present and are Christians, to those that are present and happen to be Republicans or conservatives or whatever. It's just everybody, and I'm generally filtering things through a biblical lens, and I think, well, everybody bears the image of God. We all have the Imago Dei, so everybody's got inestimable worth, and everybody is worthy of dignity and respect, and there it is right there, number one on the entire list. Let's keep going.
Yes. Okay, so something that probably many of us are guilty of and something that I'm working on personally, sometimes I'll find myself whistling in the presence of others. But rule number four, in the presence of others, sing not to yourself with a humming noise, nor drum with your fingers or feet. Now, that would include whistling, but if we look at the reason for that is...
I'm working my pen right now. I can do it loud enough so people can hear me. So what message does that send? If I'm doing that, twiddling my fingers, if I'm messing with my pen...
Well, I think it's we do those things because it's not first and foremost in our mind, what is the other person hearing?
Right.
Does the other person really want to hear me whistle or drum my fingers?
Yeah.
And the answer is no.
Yeah, and it's disinterested as well. I'm bored. I'm not interested. I mean, we're sending out some pretty major signals. Let's keep going. These are great.
All right. When in company, and this is one you said. I love this. This is number two. When in company, put not your hands to any part of the body not usually discovered.
Which, enough said, right? I mean, but think about that. Think young men. All right, I'm just going to be pretty graphic here. Young men tend to, as they're going through a puberty, they tend to want to move things around. I'll say it that way. And there's a lot of young guys that, there's guys that we know, friends of our sons and stuff, are just like, really? Come on. I mean, they don't even think about it. But that's just common decency and civility. It's a great point. And, of course, anybody in the rap world, for the most part, you're in trouble.
Yes. And I think it would be interesting if some of the listeners right now, if they wanted to put some of these in modern language that you would use to explain to your 12-year-old or 16-year-old, send those in Facebook. That'd be fun to see.
That would be fun. And for ladies, I mean, how many times do you see young girls like adjusting their bra in some way or adjusting that kind of stuff? And that makes perfect sense. Let's keep going.
All right. So this is one that everybody will empathize with. This is number 18. Read no letters, books, or papers in company, but when there is a necessity for the doing of it, you must ask leave, ask permission to do that. Come not near the books or writings of another so as to read them unless desire to give your opinion of them unasked. Also look not nigh when another is writing a letter. So one of the things we do at Iron Academy, for instance, is we don't use headphones. Headphones are not community
builders.
Earbuds,
yeah.
Yeah, they are the opposite of community builders.
Yeah,
they build
I'm out.
Isolation.
Right,
instead.
Isolation. Great point.
But when I see kids in cars going to school, our students, other students, where all the young people in the car have their headphones on, there is no interaction with parents.
Right. Nothing. Nothing. Now, what am I doing right now?
Oh, you're playing on the phone.
Okay, so now I grabbed your phone because my phone is over there filming us for Facebook Live. So look at that. Read no letters, books, or papers in the company, but when there is a necessity for the doing of it, you must ask leave. So if I'm going to pick up my phone because I've got a text and I'm talking to you, I should say, hey, Alan, do you mind if I need to respond to this text? Is that okay? And then we stop our conversation. We pause, as opposed to you keep talking and I keep whatever I'm doing, flipping through Facebook. That written, you know, a couple hundred years ago, incredibly valid today, and we do it to each other all the time.
We do.
All right, let's keep going. These are great. I love these. And I'm tracking along because I've got – by the way, if you want to see the PDF of this, I put it up on Facebook just now, facebook.com/C2A Radio, where Alan and I are also live on Facebook Live right now. Keep going.
All right. Number 12, shake not the head, feet, or legs, roll not the eyes, lift not one eyebrow higher than the other, wry not the mouth, and bedew no man's face with your spittle by approaching too near him when you
when
speak.
When you speak. Oh, man.
Yeah, so the rolling of the eyes. And wow, I don't want to throw – my teenage daughter under the bus, so I won't. But, you know, we do see people who dismiss what we have. And, of course, we've done that to other people as well.
Yeah.
And again, it's putting the needs of others first.
Sure.
We just don't – that's not our first reaction.
No, we're totally self-centered people. I mean, I like this one. Number 19, let your countenance be pleasant, but in serious matters, somewhat grave. There is a way that you should act. When other people are telling you something really serious, if you're giggling or whatever, or you're kind of not taking it, if they're broken, we should mourn with those who mourn and weep with those who weep. With those who weep, I love that. What are some other ones that you picked out? I'm looking at them too.
Do not laugh too loud or too much at any public spectacle.
See, I just saw that one too, and I think about that one because you're drawing attention to yourself, and it's disruptive. Right, and I never think about that. I want the spotlight. That's one of my problems, and maybe that's why I'm on the radio. But just, I mean, overall, looking at these things, I think the number one thing, and we'll go through some more of these when we come back, is this emphasis on respecting other people and looking out for the concerns of other people. Again, back to the biblical thing: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Prefer other people over yourself and serve them. Have that attitude of service. We're going to keep unpacking these. And how is this all going to play out at Iron Academy for these young men? We'll talk about that as well. Hey! Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. A great topic today as we're going through a document that's over 200 years old. Written and compiled, really, by George Washington himself. He pulled from some other sources, but it's called George Washington's Rules of Civility and Decent Behavior in Company and Conversation. I think one of the things we need to do right now is immediately go out to Kinko's, print out 535 copies, and mail them to Congress. So some 435 to the House. We'll send 100 to the Senate. We'll print off another probably 100, send those to the executive branch for the president on down, and have them all take a pause and read through this bad boy and try to apply at least, you know, out of 110 of these suggestions or rules or laws, whatever you want to call them from this document, out of 110, at least you could think, pick 10. And when we're going to talk about that, because they're going to use 10 of them at Iron Academy, we're here with Alan Hahn, my good friend, the chief education officer at Iron Academy here in Raleigh, North Carolina. Just an incredible, incredible move of God in discipling these young men. By the way, even if you don't live here and you're like, I wish we had one of these near us, let's not shortchange what God can do.
Amen.
And I guarantee you, Alan will be willing to talk to you. And listen, this was something that got birthed in you, Alan, what, 10 years before it actually happened?
Yes. Yes.
And through time and prayer and travail and an effort and a delayed start, and then all of a sudden God got it up and running. This fall will be year number 4? Is that right?
This will be our fifth year.
The fifth year. Wow, incredible. And so if you want some more information, maybe inspired to look into pursuing the same kind of dream that God gave to Alan, you can get a hold of him as well. Just go to ironacademy.org and check that out. But especially if you're here in the Triangle area and you have sons that are coming up towards 6th through 10th grade, man, you would be remiss if you did not give this very, very serious contemplation, not only for their education, but what we're talking about today, civility, and especially biblical manhood, ironacademy.org. We're going through this list and picking out some of our favorites, and we'll popcorn a little bit here, and then we're going to talk about how you're going to be using this and how you are already using it this summer with all your students, Alan. But what's the next one on your list? And then I've got a couple on mine.
All right, let's go to 44.
All right.
When a man does all he can, though it succeeds not well, blame not him that did it. He gave his best effort.
Yeah.
Don't ruin him for it.
And that's worth something.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
So we should always express that encouragement. That's a currency we don't trade in much, especially in the body of Christ, and encourage him even if he failed. Here's another one I like, number 40. Strive not with your superiors in argument, but always submit your judgment to others with modesty. So when somebody above you, this is like honoring your mother and father or honoring the elders above you or honoring slaves, honor your master. So if you're arguing, don't get into a big argument with your superior, but like it says, submit your judgment to others with modesty. wait, show respect, show deference, and say, may I respond to that? But oftentimes we just go at it, whether they're my superior or not, whether they're older than me than not. I oftentimes don't even think about that. And especially with young people, you know, you probably struggle. You have kids. I have kids. I struggle with that. I'm like, every once in a while, Alan, I have to look my kids right in the face and say, just a little reminder, I am not your peer. I am not your peer. You can't talk to me like I'm part of your posse.
Yes, I think we can treat this as a universal problem, that one of the things we learn when we are growing older is at some point we have to figure out that we are not the center of the universe. And you see so much of that in these rules on civility and behavior.
Yeah, exactly right. Okay, keep going. What do you have next?
All right, wherein you reprove another, be unblameable yourself. For example is more prevalent than precepts.
Whoa, see, now I circled that one too, number 48.
Yes.
So how do you read that one? What would you teach the young men in Iron Academy about number 48?
Well, we have what is the aphorism we have that if you live in a glass house,
don't throw any stones. Right. Or before you remove the speck of dust from your brother's eye, you might want to deal with the plank in your own.
That is, we have a disease. we have a name for that disease in Iron Academy. We refer to somebody as a plankster.
Oh, a plankster. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's excellent. Okay, so that was 48. I'm going to jump ahead to 65. Again, we're reading from this really long list, 110 of these, George Washington's Rules of Civility and Decent Behavior in Company and Conversation. I think we should all have a copy and be studying this, not only as adults, but with our kids, too. Just really, really some major fruit on the vine here. I put the PDF of this. I put a link up to it at our Facebook Live post right now. So go to facebook.com/C2A Radio. It's in Call to Action, C2A Radio. And you can jump and grab yourself a copy, download this list, and print it out and start going through it. It's very convicting just as I'm reading it. Okay, I'm going to jump to number 65. Speak not injurious words, neither in jest, nor earnest scoff at none, although they give occasion. So out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So I often talk about this. This is one of my favorite subjects to talk about out of the book of James, is our words. So we write, with the amount of words the average human speaks every day, we write about an 88-page book every day.
Wow.
Every day. And so you sit there and go, well, how many of you have ever said, Alan, have you ever said to somebody, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that? Have you ever said that?
Yes, unfortunately.
Okay, so the Bible says, yes, you did.
Yes.
Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we grade ourselves on a curve. Number 65, thank you, George Washington. Speak not injurious words, neither in jest, nor earnest scoff at none, although they give occasion. Even if they give you a good reason to scoff at them, don't do it. And especially for us as Christians, we have to love our neighbor as ourselves. Okay, give me another one.
Yeah, don't reply to a fool as a fool's ways is kind of the way.
Oh, there's another one. Yep, okay.
So 54. Play not the peacock, looking everywhere about you to see if you be well decked, if your shoes fit well, if your stockings sit neatly and clothes handsomely.
I hope to God that my Lord, please don't let my daughter Amelia be listening to me right now, because she says this. She'll go, Dad, sometimes when you enter a room, you'll walk into a room like you'll preen like a peacock. Literally has said that. My sister does, and this is really convicting. My sister, my older sister Sharon, my oldest sister Kathy watches the show every day. Sharon, the middle child, who's always trouble, of course, but she does impersonations of people's walks. So she'll impersonate me, my walk, but then she's always kind of, when she does it, she's always kind of like looking around the room. And which is my stinking pride going, I wonder if there's anybody in here that I know. Which is really, when you get to the blackness of my heart, I wonder if there's anybody in here that knows me. And that's what's happening. And I read this and I go, okay, holy cow. Hit in the face again. All right, this is awesome. So we could do this all day because there's 110 of them and they're so good. Just one more for the moms and the kids. Eat not in the streets nor in the house out of season. Which I'll have to look that one up because I don't exactly understand the last part, out of season. What does that mean something to you? You're smarter than I am.
I think when it's an inappropriate moment.
Oh, there you go. What a great point.
I think.
All right, so now tell us about the summer reading and how you're using this with your young men at Iron Academy.
Okay, so the young men are going through this. They have to present each one of them. All right, first of all, they have to rewrite it simply and in words that their peers would understand.
All of them.
Yes.
All 110.
Yeah. So they don't have to be verbose, but you know, it's 110 sentences basically.
Yeah, yeah.
They have to get their parents to sign off on it, so they'll talk with their parents about each one. The point of it is not for us to – this is not the law of Iron Academy.
Right.
This is the launching point for us to think about what it means to be civil and gentlemanly in a deeper way. So in high school, for instance, we study – our Bible curriculum covers apologetics and philosophical debate. Well, our ninth grade year, we spend talking about the virtues. So it'll be a great launching point to talk about what we call the resume virtues and the obituary virtues, both of them. But at Iron Academy, we do everything based on the honor code. These rules of civility are a great launching point into the first part of our honor code, which is I will always conduct myself as a gentleman. Well, we really need to understand what that means, and we absolutely need to understand that we cannot occupy the center of the universe either as gentlemen, but especially as disciples of Christ.
Yeah.
After that, what we want to do is we want our young men to embody this honor code as well as they can. And frankly, none of us are able to live up to it, but we should endeavor it. If we don't have a code of honor, we can't be honorable people.
Absolutely.
And ours reads, I will always conduct myself as a gentleman, live pure, speak true, right wrong, and follow the king.
Yeah.
Which is largely a self-regulatory thing. But what we want ultimately is for these young men to go out into society. They are going to be the good shepherds. And you and I were talking about on the break, but Psalm 23, I've always read it as David's description of his God, of my God, the good shepherd. But increasingly what we're doing at Iron Academy is we're looking at that as kind of the template of what we want to produce. We want to produce good shepherds. All of us as disciples of Christ should be good shepherds. At any one moment, we have people who are under our care. We should be protecting them. We should be planning ahead for them, looking for where the green pasture is, looking for still waters. We should treat them in such a way that they trust us with that treatment.
Yeah, and also, I mean, this keeps bringing me back to, you look at all of these things, and then you go look at the Gospels in the New Testament, and you see how Jesus treated people. You see, and he goes right back to, you keep showing deference to other people. We keep talking about that, I must decrease, he must increase. Jesus himself saying, I did not come to be served, but to serve and give my life as a ransom for many. And so over and over and over again, if we have that attitude of servitude and we're decreasing and we are crucifying ourselves, then all of a sudden you have this, it's remarkably winsome how a person that loves and serves and cares for others, they stick out like a sore thumb, especially in this culture. Now to see that in young men, holy cow. I mean, that's like, you better have the CPR people around because there's going to be some folks having heart attacks.
Amen. We need that not only out of our young people, but we need that out of ourselves as well. I mean, reading through this list is a challenge for me as well.
Oh, man.
Reevaluating myself as a gentleman and what that means.
Yeah, as a gentleman, as a godly man, as a father, as a husband, as a coworker, as a host, as somebody that just encounters the lost and the saved out on the street every day, the notions of civility and manners and treating people with love and dignity and respect, man, it's a huge opportunity that I think we're missing, except they're not missing it.
Well, I got a message, I got a song, can I get a witness, tell me what's going on, show the people.
Welcome back to Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you today. We're here with my good friend Alan Hahn, the Chief Education Officer for Iron Academy here in the Triangle area of North Carolina. IronAcademy.org is the website, as always, coming up on their fifth year. God's just been doing an amazing work, so if you have I'm going to go ahead and break rank here. If you have some sons, some young boys who you want them to be young men, then you need to check out ironacademy.org. It's really an amazing move of God, literally. I'm not going to call it a school. I'm not going to call it an organization. It really is a movement of God here in the Triangle area to see the level of discipleship and everything going on and the way they're teaching and sowing into the fact that, guess what, young men learn differently than young women, and you need to approach it as such, and that's what's been happening at Iron Academy. Today, going through this incredible list of 110, really, rules that George Washington tried to live by and put out this document way back when in the late 1700s. George Washington's rules of civility and decent behavior in company and conversation. We went through a bunch of them in the first half of the show. Incredibly powerful and uncomfortable for not just for myself, but a few of them for Alan as well. And he's having all the young men at Iron Academy go through all of them this summer, reading through them all. And then they're rewriting them in their own, basically in their own words, that they're going to explain them to a peer. And then what are they going to do with them next after that?
All right. So once they really wrestle with these things at home, then we come together, we'll gather in groups, and we'll find out, we'll make a top 10 list. Which are the 10 most relevant? Which are the 10 least relevant?
Yeah.
And then we'll try to pick out the top 10 adverbs that really describe what a gentleman is or what civil behavior is. the hopes being that, again, not that this becomes a rule book for Iron Academy, but that we better understand what it means to be a gentleman, what it means to be a disciple of Christ. Also, I would have to say that we learn what self-denial is, because one of the marks of a fool is he who cannot overcome temptation, pleasure, pain, and choose the better course.
Totally
pursue
indulgent.
Wisdom.
Yep.
Yes. So that's where we want, and that's a launching point. It's especially a great launching point for our ninth grade, because, again, they're discussing the virtues of, you know, the ones we find from love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, but also those resume virtues, self-discipline, compassion, responsibility, and so on. But really taking a look, not just what we believe as Christians, but what do we believe it means to behave well, to be a gentleman, to be a godly man in front of others.
And again, this isn't about legalism. This isn't about wide phylacteries and long tassels and putting ourselves in a position where we are acting better, know better, and feel better and look better than everybody else. It's not about that. It's really about respecting the other people in your life, whether they're continually like a teacher or a coworker or somebody else in your class or people that you just run into every day. I mean, our public witness is one of the most valuable things that we have. And God help us if we're acting like fools and being rude and just like you might, like my daughter Amelia, who, you know, is 19. She works in the food industry. She works at a really popular place here in town. And every Sunday, of course, now you get a double-edged sword here. So every Sunday, you know, the people come in after church and they have problems. Now, for lost people, they're going to say that because they want to say it, because what fellowship does darkness have with light? And to those who are perishing, we are the aroma of death. So they're looking for ways to kind of dismiss us. Mm-hmm. But I guarantee you there are plenty of Christians, and I'm one of them occasionally, where I soil my public witness just by not being civil and not having good manners and not caring for people, especially with young folks like you have at Iron Academy.
Oh, yeah. One of the things I hate hearing is both of my children work for tips. And they sometimes work on Sundays, and they'll say, oh, the Sunday crowd, they just don't tip as well.
Wow, yeah,
oh,
see?
No.
Yeah, that's a bummer. And your kids don't have any reason to be anti-church, anti-Christian,
no,
obviously.
They're very pro-church.
So they're just being honest about what they're encountering, which is hard to hear. But then you kind of work it into the whole system and then kind of fold this into the whole environment for people that aren't familiar with Iron Academy. What does school look like there? But well, let's start with the Crucible Camp, because for all the new students, that's the way it kicks off.
All right, so this examination of the rules of civility and civil behavior, we will unpack that the first week of school. But our first week of school is quite different. It's up in the mountains of North Carolina and Black Mountain. We will study what the honor code means at Iron Academy for that whole week, with the point being that when we come back and start academic classes on Monday, well, a couple benefits. One, our students know the teachers, because we've been up in the mountains with them. We've done all kinds of fun things. We've done some very difficult things together. They know each other. They've got buddies. They've got war stories about carrying the Ebenezers all the way up the mountain. You know, it's a grueling task, but it's a wonderful week. It's a really good picture of what Iron Academy is. Iron Academy, because we rely so heavily on a very difficult honor code, it's one of the toughest places to go to school that I know of anywhere.
Yeah.
But because we know young men, we also make it an entirely engaging and fun place to go to school.
Yeah, and so, you know, you mentioned carrying the Ebenezers up the mountain, which is kind of glossing over the more brutal reality of that experience. So what happens exactly? I've seen it, so I've been there. I know what you're talking about, but most people don't.
Okay, so to back up just a little bit, rites of passage have been a part of every successful culture. It prepares, it takes a boy and makes him into a man ready to go into society and be productive. So we have rites of passage at Iron Academy as well. So at the end of that honor code week, the rite is we break our young men up into four-man teams. We have these giant bamboo poles that we secure these Ebenezers to, these stones, these very heavy stones. And these young men working together walk that stone up the mountain where we're building this monument to remember what has God done for us. And to remember this statement that, yes, we are men and we are going to be godly men. But along the way, we have our stopping points.
And this is a serious hike, by the way. This is not easy. You'll get a good percentage of them will really struggle to make it to the top. They'll want to quit. They'll have to encourage one another. I mean, you have to cheerlead the whole way up there, especially after the first half. It gets really, I mean, it can get pretty
ugly. Extremely difficult.
Yeah, yeah.
And we try to find that razor's edge between we don't want them to fail.
Right.
And we want it to be very, very difficult. So we're right there. But it is a memorable day for these guys. The first stop up the mountain is what it means to be a gentleman. And a little bit further, we have someone speak about what it means to live pure, what it means to speak true, to right wrong. And then finally, what it means to follow the king.
The king.
Yes. And powerful week.
Oh, yeah. It's so amazing. And we've had parents on before talking about just after those several days being gone in the mountains when they come back. They already see a difference.
What did you do to my son?
Right. Which is a great way of putting it. And so, but once you get past that, like, what's the regular academic kind of regular school day like at Iron Academy? What does that look like this fall?
Okay. So we have longer classes, fewer per day, and we alternate days that we do them. But because we have long classes and we want to make sure that our young men are able to pay attention and get all they can out of the academic momentum that we build in each class, we have these things we call brain breaks. We get them up and move them around with intensive activity. We never have tired eyes at Iron Academy. We sometimes have tired bodies.
Yes.
But academically, it helps us so much. The all-male environment, the opposite sex is always – is often a distraction for us, especially at that age, middle school, high school. So this is not a girl problem. This is an opposite sex problem. But having the all-male environment really frees our young men up to be gentlemen, to be scholars. For instance, every year all of our classes study Shakespeare, one of the Shakespeare's plays. So if they're doing The Merchant of Venice and there's a part to play, and I can't remember her name, but there's a female part that we need to play when we're acting out, that's no problem at Iron Academy because, you know, we're not trying to impress anybody. We can do those things. We can talk about biblical things without having the opposite sex there. We have to impress them.
Right, right.
We can talk about biblical sexuality and procreation in real, genuine ways. So there are a lot of things about our environment that make it very conducive to learning, to maximizing learning, both as godly young men and also intellectually.
And academically, last year you did some nationwide testing, and that came out exceptionally well.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So our average over the last 3 years for our young men with 1 year under their belts at Iron Academy, compared to their peers across the nation, they're growing almost 9%.
Wow.
Smarter in IQ.
Yeah.
And after 2 years, it's almost 16%. So it's extraordinary, and it's going to be better next year.
Yeah, and again, it comes back to, you know, we've talked about this before a couple of years ago. The public school system, most of the private schools, whether they're Christian or not, kind of have a system of learning that's really much better geared for young women, for girls, not so much for guys. And so we sit there and go, well, they're fidgety, they don't listen, they're distracted, blah, 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 blah. Well, welcome to the male side of the species, right? So that's why the physical interaction and you talking about get them up for a brain break. Listen, we need that stuff. We don't sit well and pay attention for a long period of time. That's just the way we are, hunter-gatherer types.
It's true.
And and that's where you kind of lean into that reality, the way God created us, and teach accordingly.
Yes. We've had really good results with that. A lot of academics will tell you about how important engagement is. Our young men are engaged because we have an atmosphere that's very conducive to what their learning preferences are.
Now, what about the role of parents? We got about a minute and a half left here, but the role of parents, because oftentimes we think if we ship our kids off, you fix them, you grow them, you raise them up in the way they should go, and then give them back to us. But in this case, at Iron Academy, the parents are an integral part of the piece.
You can do that with intellectual education, but you can't do that with biblical manhood. In fact, one of the most important things about when we're doing admissions, the thing that we look for first is not the transcript of the young man, that we'll take a look at that. It's at the parents, because we've got to have partners in this. We're not there to displace the family. We're there to partner with the family and church in building godly young men.
And if people want to get more information, especially folks here in the Triangle, how do they get a hold of you?
info@ironacademy.org.
info@ironacademy.org. You can also check out the website at ironacademy.org. I've already got some questions coming in on Facebook Live, so I'll share those with you, Alan, when we get off the air. But really an incredible, incredible resource, incredible blessing, incredible opportunity. If you have young men in your house and you're interested in this, please get to ironacademy.org as soon as you can, because there's still room for this fall, right? 6th through 10th grades.
Yes, there is, and not in all the classes, but yes, there are spaces left.
Yeah, so you gotta find that out. info@ironacademy.org. Alan, always great to have you on. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Steve.
Okay, tomorrow, friends, it's Theology Thursday. Is tomorrow Thursday? Tomorrow's Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Right? I don't know what I'm doing yet, but God willing, I'll talk to you then.